This revolutionary recording is presented to you in Around Sound.
It was recorded with whatever was lying around.
Lady don't take no shit. Insist on respect the sister. Walk around like a womanish. She won't speak less of something worse. Singing don't play. The girl take herself so seriously. People stare curiously. She got a natural way. Her hips sway furiously. Yet luxuriously. Carries herself like the cutest, most prettiest.
Hey, this is Lady Don't Take No. Your weekly roundup of all of the real and none of the fake. I'm your host, Alicia Garza. This show is pro-black, pro-queer, proudly feminist, and pro-do-what-you-like. Every week, you're going to get the best of what goes on in my head, what we're loving on and hating on, what we might be and what we ain't going to do. Politics, pop culture, political power, and how we build it, we cover it all. We are recording from Oakland, California, the center of the known universe, where we are dealing with Rona and rebellion. It's a challenging time, a changing time. It's a time of transformation. It's all the kinds of time, but don't worry. We're going to help you understand the dynamics of this time every single week. So be sure to tune in, tell a friend, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. We do it for the culture, so the pod is free 99 because we know that with a country in chaos, the least we could do is keep you from putting your money anywhere else than where it's needed.
Let him run out of sight, not a night. With a freakish eye that you can't quite see, but you can't quite hide. And it lies in the gentle command of the night.
Our guest this week is the principal and CEO of Impact Strategies. She is featured as an influential politico, lawyer, and advocate by several publications and outlets, from Marie Claire to Ebony and The Washington Post. She's a prominent political strategist who is regularly featured on BET, CNN, MSNBC, and TV One. I'm so proud to call her a friend and a boss, a sister, and someone who I absolutely adore. I can only be talking about the one and only Angela Rye. What's up, sis?
Hi, sis. Hi, sis.
Hello.
The people that gave you the old bio, but that's okay because it's still relevant.
Well, you want to give me the new one? Come on and give
me
the new one.
I'm just not on MSNBC anymore. And then they merged. People merged like my nonprofit that we started. Gosh, that was in 2006. That was called Impact with Impact Strategies, which is a political advocacy, social impact, racial equity firm, like trying to just do the right thing by the people. So it's still mission aligned. You know, I was born like this.
I understand.
Praise the Lord.
I understand. And I know, because listen, it's rough to get an old bio. You'd be sitting there like, okay, when is this going to be over?
And you'd be wanting to say something. But the new ones. I don't like hearing the new ones. I'd be like, oh, don't read it. I'll just tell you something.
I know. But you know what? We need to give you your propers because basically, what we should be calling you is Rye and Associates, because you are just out here handling problems, solving problems, making connections, and talking about it's handled every single step of the way. So we could just cut through all this bio nonsense and just say, Angela is out here handling business.
Can I tell the people? I know this is your show, but listen, you guys. Okay. Me and Alicia.
Look at how this happens. She's like, I know this is your show, but let me go ahead and host this thing.
No, it's not even that. It's just like our normal conversations. What I need the world to know is that when I wake up in the morning in crisis, when I wake up in the morning, most of the time this is a crisis because I wanted to sleep a little bit longer just to bring y'all. If I don't hit that gratitude first, thank God. Mm-hmm. I call Alicia with a whole meltdown and she solves my problems. I've been calling her Yanla, but no disrespect to Yanla, sis. Alicia is a little bit nicer, so now I'm calling her Dr. Maya. She is Dr. Maya Angelou to my panic button every morning. And the last few days, I gotten to be Dr. Maya. It's been kind of dope. So praise the Lord on that.
This is really, really kind. And you know, just like Dr. Angelou, you can call me Dr. Garza because I do actually have an honorary doctorate. So
okay, honorary doctor.
Put some letters on a sister name. You know, hey, Dr. Garza, which is also what Rashad Robinson calls me. But we can keep it moving.
I just want you guys to know that that's some black people shit because most times, like I have an honorary doctorate too. You don't really get to claim them letters because people labored for them letters. But I love y'all.
I labored for them letters, let me tell you.
Not with tuition.
Hold on a minute, though. That's not labor. That's income. Hold on.
Okay, okay, okay. Tuition and hours spent in the classroom for the PhD or the EdD. Did you do those things?
Let me tell you what I have done.
She said what had happened was.
Let me tell you what I have done. Because why they offer you these honorary doctorates is because of the work that you have done to help change the world. So
that's right.
In hours... Yes, I have done the curriculum.
In okay, contribution, Dr. Garza.
Yes, ma'am. I have contributed. And if we're talking about dollars, all these dollars that I've spent trying to deal with these people who ain't trying to do the right thing, I earned that thing. And so did Dr. Angelou. So.
All right. I got you. I got
Here
you.
We come. Got Here you. We come.
Call this podcast Dr. Garza. That's the name of this podcast. Put some respect, some letters on her name for them hours where she toiled.
So here's the deal. I want to start off. I mean, you might not know it now because people have been turned up for the better part of 2 weeks now.
Yeah.
And you might have forgot that we were under quarantine, but we are still under quarantine. So I need to ask you, what has your quarantine life been like? Tell me, have you developed any unique habits live and direct from Miss Rona?
Yeah, Zoom calls. and I don't know what happens, but like it feels more exhausting at the end of the day now. Like Zoom call, and like I'm literally at the end of the day, like I'm grouchy as hell. I'm like, yo, I don't have nothing left to say.
That's
I don't
right.
have
That's
anything right. left to say. So that I feel like I'm not as good as Roland on production, but like I have a whole studio set up in the house. Like there's equipment. I have different sets. Like I have my beanbag set. I have my stool set. I have my desk set.
Yes.
I have a green screen, but it's not up. But I have a whole bunch of stuff I don't know how to use and some stuff I do know how to use.
Excellent.
And I decided like I want to have a cookbook. I want to do a cookbook after this. Like I've been making some good tasty
snacks. You know what?
Snacks.
This is real cute because I did see you over here with the queen, Mava. Patti LaBelle doing some cooking.
Oh, yes.
So is it true? Like, is there a cookbook coming?
Well, honestly, Dr. Garza, I think this will have to be one of the things you hold me accountable to because I really need to be writing a substantive book first, but I do want to do a cookbook. That has been enjoyable. Like, I love cooking, but this has actually been like a source of peace and joy over quarantine. And I'm not saying that taking it lightly what everybody's going through, but I think we all need to find those things that give us joy. Like just going outside and feeling the sun hit your face and talking to friends and laughing. And, you know, I really miss my mom and dad, but I can't wait to see them. So it's some good things that have come out of this, but it's also, you know, I'm looking forward to human connection and it being okay to hug your loved ones and all that kind of stuff.
I really love that. I really, really love that. And I will offer you, since we out here putting it out in the world, my guilty quarantine pleasure, honestly and truly, has been tequila.
Ooh, yeah.
Yes, girl. Yes, 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 yes. And I know that after a long day of phone calls, Zoom meetings, and people freaking out about some things that matter, but mostly things that don't, there is nothing more that I love. And I guess I don't even really feel guilty about this because this is just like how it must be. Mm-hmm. There's nothing more that I love than the ritual of shutting everything down, turning my phone over so I'm not, you know, answering the texts that are coming in, dropping one piece of ice in one of my little glass jars that I save for this very moment. Mm-hmm. And then the sound of the tequila pouring on top of the ice and then the ice kind of burst a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's almost like a thing where I know, like, I made it. I made it and they did not kill me today. You know what I'm saying?
I love that. And I'm like so ready to read this book because that story with those details, you ready, girl?
Yes, book's coming. Book's coming. I want to talk all about politics, political activism, and I also want to talk about inside-outside strategy. And here's why.
Mm.
Here we are It has also felt like we have lived 50 years in 2 weeks, and we we went from COVID relief and recovery to the LA uprising, like, in a hot minute. And now we have accelerated, right? So 7 years ago, people were like, I'm not trying to say Black Lives Matter because all lives matter. Now, mm-hmm. everybody and their mama talking about Black Lives Matter. Every corporation you ever heard of, motherfuckers who done us wrong, right? Like, what's his name from the NFL? Roger Goodall was over here on his knee. Talking about, you know, we were wrong after they done kicked poor Colin up out the thing and really sullied his name. I mean, all the things, right? Like, mm-hmm. everything has happened. And now we are fast forwarding, like careening toward federal legislation to address police violence. This is huge, mm-hmm. right? You brought this up to me the other day. The day before yesterday, this Congress tried to pass an anti-lynching bill and couldn't do it. However, the very next day, this Congress introduces legislation to address police violence in the ways that it can at the federal level. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. And I think we are in this real battle right now around, are we just trying to make better what is bad, or are we trying to make something new? And so I want to talk about what it means to be engaged in this moment, given all of these, they're not competing, but they are needs that we have to get met, right? Yeah. So we need to be protesting in the streets. We need to be changing rules that have been rigged against Black communities ever since we were brought here in chains on the bottoms of boats. And so much of the time, I think we see these things as separate and not compatible. And so I want to just dive right in with you about all of that. So first, let's just set this up, right? Because I get to know you as like the homegirl. And you know, Angela, I swear to God, and please don't take this disrespectfully at all.
She gonna say something crazy. I'll beep it out.
I'm not. I engage with you and I'm like, that's the homegirl, right? Like, that's the homie, like fresh. And I'm sure you experience this too. When you have friends that are hella famous and then they'd be like, I'm not famous. I'm just doing what I do. Or mm-hmm. I just know that person, but I don't care that they're famous. That's kind of how I feel about you. I'm like, no, that's just like my homegirl. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to dive into this conversation so that you could just talk to us a little bit about, like, how did you get into politics and political activism? And how did you get into it like this way? Because you're such a unique person in the sense that you over here writing legislation, moving things through committees, talking to members, doing all this, and then also talking about, hey, Puff, you need to do X, Y, and Z. How do all those things come together? Help me connect the dots, please.
Well, Dr. Garza.
Yes.
I'm so glad you asked. I think what you have laid out is a healthy case of intersectionality. Oh. My intersectional connection is Sophista Ratchet.
Sophista Ratchet. Yes. That is the damn name of the episode. That is it right there. Take that note, Phil. Sophista Ratchet. I'm with it.
Well, first, I really want to lean in on this point that you raised about famous friends and friends that really make stuff happen, because it's so incredible to watch you move as a person. You are so gentle and tender and compassionate and empathetic in your approach, but it's so effective. And it is so the opposite of what we have been conditioned to like learn and believe about the types of energy that makes things happen. Like, my holistic therapist talks about this all the time. Like, we kind of double down in like our masculine energy, mm-hmm. right? Because people are told that that's what it requires. But it's probably a balance of masculine and feminine energy, right? Like, if people don't ever feel heard, that's how the hell they end up going to war, mm-hmm. right? So anyway, I really want to commend you on that, because I don't think people realize that. I'm so grateful that you would have me as a friend, because I've learned so much. And we'll talk about Alicia cuss outs later if the episode allows us.
I don't cuss her out. She exaggerating.
It is only a slight exaggeration. Yeah. And I think the point is, like, you know, we grow up however it is that we grow up. And I know that my point of privilege is I grew up in the house not just with two parents, not just with two Black parents, not just with two Black parents who ensured that I was connected to my grandparents and cousins and all of that, but two boldly Black parents, one who's in college administration at a community college in Seattle, one who is like a bullhorn toting, sign carrying, Nike windbreaker wearing activist, like proud agitator, right? Mm-hmm. Both of them, and like Black art on the walls, Black books on the shelves, kids' Black books on my shelves, Black dolls. Like I grew up in this cloud and cushion of Blackness where I was like, it was just the only way to be. And on top of all of that, like they allowed me to have an opinion and express it. Mm-hmm. You know, or the Rico to be challenging the seventh grade history teacher because the book was wrong because it said the first people were from Mesopotamia, or you know, co-founding my Black student union at my all-girls private high school with mostly white people with my best friend. Like, it's been a way of life. Like, my mom expected that if there were people who were oppressed, unheard, unseen, like, we speak up for those people. That is not like, oh, you're a good Samaritan. That is what you are required to do. Mm-hmm. And so that is what has followed me in every one of my jobs. I was telling somebody the other day, I realized, like, oh my God, I've never had a white boss.
Wait, how does that work? How right? did you get away with that?
I don't know. I don't know. And it's funny now because I have clients and I guess they're the white bosses now. But it's such a trip, Alicia, because I'm like, damn, like, is that God's way of saying I couldn't handle that? Like what? Like what happened? But what it really did is it created this and furthered this environment of feeling like home in all of my workplaces, people who allowed me to speak up, to grow, to try things. My first political internship was with Maxine Waters. Mm-hmm. And she let me into a meeting where I'm arguing with this but I won't call her elderly, but she was my elder, an older white woman, about whether or not there should be an injunction. An emergency injunction filed to keep King Drew Trauma Center open in LA. You know what I mean? Like fighting in law school. This lawyer had to be like, bitch, I could pass the bar. What about you?
Yes.
I'm still in law school. And my only point in saying that is if there's nothing else I do in this life, I want to ensure for every young person of color I come into contact with that is the environment I create for them.
Yes.
Because it not only was my privilege, it makes me unafraid. It makes me believe like I can step out there and I'm going to be good because my people are going to have my back. And I think that the reality of it is like every young person of color should have that.
That's right.
You know, they just should. And if we all did, like Alicia, we would be walking boldly towards abundant life. We would be walking boldly towards worthiness. Like we know we're supposed to be here doing this and, you know, making things better for everybody else because we're good. And we don't have that right now.
That's right.
As a collective.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I just got like shivers. Shivers.
I mean, you know, I try, Dr. Gaza. I have to deliver back.
There is no try. There is only do. And you 100% just did. Alice Walker, Nikki Giovanni, oh honey. Let's dive in because, you know, people have been blowing up my phone all week long about these bills. You know, whether it's this bipartisan bill or, you know, the bill that's being introduced by Senator Booker and Senator Harris, right? Like, there's lots of movement right now around changing the rules. And I've had a number of conversations this week. And, you know, as somebody who's an organizer, but also a strategist, right? And also a writer and an intellectual and all the things, I find that often there is an assumption that is grounded in reality, but not universally true, that all activists don't want to engage in legislative processes. Mm-hmm. And so I see this big split that happens, right? Where folk be like, y'all need to just get over whatever issues you got with the bill and help get some things done, right? Somebody tried to run me up the flagpole about that the other day. And don't you know, I had to shut that down because I don't believe in that line of thinking, especially as it comes to politics that are good for Black people. But at the same time, I think we have this big challenge around how do you translate the rage, the energy, the vision and imagination that is being expressed, especially during moments of uprising, into new rules that can reorganize the way that we be together. In your opinion, is there such a thing as like inside-outside strategy, or is that kind of like a catch-all that doesn't really catch what needs to happen to really change the rules that are rigged and have been rigged for a very long time?
Yeah, I love this question so much. And you know, you had me down a road. I'm like, oh, this needs to be a whole paper.
I know, we gonna do it too. Watch.
Yes, it's like it's needed because what happens is, again, being raised by a protester, watching my dad engaging with politicians on both sides of the aisle and being dragged by politicians on both sides of the aisle, I know how treacherous politics can be. I hated politics all of my life until I read about Maxine Waters and I was like, oh, but she's doing both, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, there's something to this. And then when I got into her brand of politics, it was like, oh, this is it. This is what we need to be doing. Too often we look at something and we say, you know what? I hate that. I'm not doing that. This just needs to be dismantled. On the other hand, you just talked about the rules being rigged against people of color. We know that is the case from the outset. Mm-hmm. Now, how are you going to change a rule you don't know? Mm-hmm. So one, right, you just have to study to show yourself approved because you ain't changing anything. You don't understand what it is. Like you have to know what it is. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go inside, but it does mean you have to be well read. Right. Mm-hmm. You also talked about being an intellectual. So being an intellectual means that not only do you understand the rule that you're fighting against and how it has oppressed your people, you know how things have gone down in other countries, in other cities, in other states, right? Where you can say, this is what's working in this environment. What are the things that are different about their demographics, about their climate or whatever that doesn't apply here? What are the things that are the same and what can we borrow from the model they have? You talked about being a strategist, again, understanding how the inside works, understanding what's going on the outside. What are the external and internal environmental factors we're up against? That strategy, you have to have some type of connection. You have to have the ability to coalesce with a group of people to move your agenda. That means you may have to compromise and support on some of their things, right? Mm-hmm. And then I think a general understanding of just how the game works. So you need to know, okay, I know who's in positions of power by name, but who mm-hmm. has influence over those people of power on the inside, on the outside, on their staff, et cetera. This could be a whole crash course, but the point is everybody has a role to play. Some people like Dr. Garza can play several roles. Some people need to stay in one damn lane.
Period.
What I would implore you to do, especially given the tender times we are in right now, is understand your lane. We know that you might want to be on TV. You might want to be on radio. You might want to be in the room where it all happens, Hamilton. Mm. However,
Hamilton.
However, that may not be your calling, right? Maybe. You may need to be the person that's writing the research paper. So when the person goes to testify before Congress, your points get out. You may be the person that needs to be doing the polling to ensure that the majority of our people stand with you when you go to push out whatever radical new idea you have. But the point is everyone has a role to play. And so this isn't to take anybody down a notch, but it is to say, be clear about your gifts, be clear about your talents, and be super clear about what gifts and talents you want to dedicate to this particular cause. Mm-hmm. I would suggest to all of the listening audience, you all, we all have something to do on the stuff that's happening right now. This bill that was introduced this week, the Justice and Policing Act of 2020, it does a lot. It does a lot. The challenges I have right now as it was written is it is a $918 billion bill that would give the Department of Justice some discretion I don't believe they can handle right now. I call it the Department of Injustice for a reason. Mm-hmm. Some of that is around grant funding on reporting on a national database to keep some police officers who go from one department to another messing over Black folks. They're supposed to be, you know, engaging in some new law enforcement training. There's some innovation grants in the piece that would help people get out of the traditional models of policing and public safety, which is dope. And if we're honest, like some of our friends who are pushing defund the police, they support some of this. Now, to that end, there are some things that don't go far enough. I think everybody, if you haven't looked at what happened in Minneapolis, they tried everything radical. Alicia, and Alicia could tell y'all how much she had to school me on this just within the last 7 days. But they went through all of these steps. They had law enforcement officers sit through 24 hours of training to help change the mindset and the mentality. They did a whole bunch of other things, like four other things that I don't know off the top of my head, but you all can look it up. Like I've been reading white papers all morning about this to understand how we can push our members further.
And now y'all understand what my mornings look like because you'd be giving me morning briefings on the white papers.
I forgot I gave you a morning briefing. I did.
I appreciate it.
I was excited, girl. I was excited. Let me wrap this one point up. So just please, you all, study what happened with the Minneapolis Police Department because they did one set of things to try to end police violence. Somebody else died. They did another set of things, Philando Castile. Another set of things, another Black man. Another set of things, George Floyd. So they've done all of these things, right? And it didn't help. And now we're on the other side of our young sister, who is the SGA president at University of Minnesota, Jael Corundi.
Come on and shout the sister out.
Yeah. Who wrote a letter to the administration saying, yo, they still ain't right. We need to end this contract with the police department. They did, and so did the Minneapolis School District. And so I'm saying all that to say, when you can look at a model like theirs, who did all the things right that they were told to do to fix the system after another Black person was killed, and that still didn't work, what should we do now? Mm-hmm. That's the question. Mm-hmm. That's the question. Mm-hmm. You can't fix something that is flawed. There's in law school, you learn about a product defect. Mm,
come on.
Like it's just defective. Like it's just defective. So how do you fix something that's just, it came out wrong. It came out wrong. Like from the outset, it was wrong.
Wow.
I just talked for 2 days. I'm sorry.
You killed it. And this is exactly what our folks need to hear and understand. So let me ask you this. There's two bills now, maybe three, but two bills now that are trying to address police reform. One that has been introduced by Senator Harris and Senator Booker and supported by a number of other members. And there's one that's kind of looking at bipartisan police reform. How should people understand this? Because I know in politics, especially the way that things are arranged right now, it's probably important to try to get people on both sides of the aisle since you've got the Senate being controlled by Republicans and you have the House, which was taken back from Republicans by Democrats. And we could have a whole debate about do these parties even have similar values? Because I have all my feelings about, you know, how I feel like parties are obsolete. But we could talk about that at some other point. But I want to help people understand the context here because there's lots of stuff out there. And people are so angry and in anguish that people want to see stuff fixed right now. Give me a sense of, like, is there such a thing as bipartisanship in this moment where things are so polarized politically? And then as a follow-up, I guess my question would be, what should we believe about what is actually possible and prioritizable? Yes, I said it, at the federal level, because we know so many of these changes actually are strongest in cities and states, right? Just because of the way that things are arranged. But what should we be focused on and what traps maybe should we be avoiding when we're looking at what is being passed on a federal level?
That's such a like a good question. And again, it has so many layers. So my understanding is one of the proposals that was being pushed on a bipartisan level was put into the CBC bill. And the bill that you're referencing, that's Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, is the CBC bill as well. Karen Bass is the crime subcommittee chair on judiciary. So she's running point on it on the House side. That said, I did hear about a Mitt Romney-led bipartisan bill that there's no text for. And shout out to Mitt Romney, who probably for the first time in his white life said Black Lives Matter and went to the march the other day.
Not in his white life.
It is what it is. But he's not.
I just became an ancestor.
But I'm just saying.
My DNA rattled. Said the first time in his white life. Okay, yeah, moving forward.
Black Lives Matter. And he went to a march, but he wasn't led enough to sign on to a bill that I think that a lot of people would say is still fairly conservative, right? Like, there shouldn't be any issue with ending no-knock warrants and banning chokeholds. And carotid holds. I can't say that right. I don't know how, but that's carotid. How George Floyd.
Carotid, you good.
Carotid. Thank you. See, I told you Dr. Garza be teaching me, y'all. So, yeah, like there shouldn't be any like issue with that. You shouldn't have an issue with wanting to end racial profiling. There shouldn't be an issue with investigating police misconduct or talking about new ways to think about justice and safety in our communities. And there definitely shouldn't be an issue on collecting data of officers who have a pattern and practice of using use of force. You mentioned the lynching bill that couldn't pass. They put that in this bill. Shouldn't be an issue with fighting against lynching, with trying to get rid of lynching, right? With trying to make it a federal crime. Right. Like, we shouldn't have an issue there. And we definitely should not have an issue with changing the intent standard from willfulness to recklessness in cases where officers are being prosecuted at the federal level. Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, why do we need an alternative to that, Mitt Romney? Because we were actually trying to double down and make this bill a little stronger. So, like, what is it that y'all are y'all protecting these officers because you're worried about the FOP? Are you protecting these officers because you think they need more flexibility to kill more Black people? Like, what is it that you're actually looking for? And so the trap that honestly I'm falling in right now, Alicia, is what can get passed versus what is the right thing to do? Mm-hmm. And that is a maddening thing to have to answer. And this is the part about politics that I hate the most. I should not have to negotiate the ways in which you can kill me and how you're held accountable to it. That is absolutely insane. This bill mostly focuses on how to hold police officers accountable. And if you're not going to do that, if we have to compromise on this, then the only next course of action should be getting rid of police systems as we know them. Because that means you're just going to protect them over our lives. Mm. And so, again, we're not talking about a standard that would make people allow people to run recklessly in communities and, you know, steal and kill and, you know, whatever. That's not what we're talking about. What we're saying is if they're there to protect and serve some, they should be there to protect and serve all. And when they don't protect and serve all, there should not be some loophole or some collective bargaining agreement that prevents them from being held accountable, right? Like, that's the thing. And then there's been so many discussions about people who are saying, it's so interesting that right now, as protesters are in the streets holding police accountable for police brutality, that their way of responding is with police brutality, right? It's like, it doesn't make any sense. And so this should not be a partisan issue. Black people's survival should be a nonpartisan issue. This should be about justice. And so if there are no Republicans on this bill and on bills that would reallocate funding to places that would allow for communities to engage in discussions and policies and proposals that would make those communities safer with jobs, with healthcare, with mental wellness, with homes, like with the basics, right? Like, what are we talking about?
That's right.
What are we really talking about? So it's just like, I don't want to appease anyone by making them like, oh, this will be easier for you to digest. No, I don't want to make it easy for you to digest. I want you to do the right thing because it's the right thing to do.
You better tell the whole truth. Yeah, we're talking about what's happening in Congress, and that is so important. And actually, there's an election coming, and so we need to be paying attention to the Senate. And we also need to be paying attention to who takes the role of president in this country. And I just want to hear, I mean, you and I and a bunch of other dope sisters had the pleasure and the honor of collaborating together to really lay out the roadmap to November 2020. But what is your sense of what you think Joe Biden needs to be doing right now as the presumptive nominee? Is he doing enough, or could he show up differently?
Jesus, this is a podcast. This is a podcast. Joe Biden needs to have like a hard pivot. Like he needs to 180, as we used to say back in the day, with the quickness. That debate where he said, I am from the Black community. Like he sure needs did. To show up and prove it. He needs to tell people thank you in his policy priorities, in his access that he allows into that campaign, mm-hmm. in their callback strategy, in their listening session strategy, in understanding what defund the police is before we put out a statement strategy. Like, I mean, like all of the things. And what terrifies me, Alicia, is the mentality that we just kind of have to fall in line instead of understanding that, like, no, you don't understand. Our objections are not because we don't support you. They're because if you don't change on these things, you will not win.
That's right.
And he just has a lot of work to do. And I am praying that the people who I am close to around him hear the intention of what we're all trying to say in our own different ways, but that we mean it. Like, it is a code red, sis. Like, you got to get it together because this is not going well right now. And the fact that, like, he's not really visible. I mean, of course, given quarantine and we want him to be safe and all of that, like everyone else, but like, you need to be a little more visible. That's and we right. need for what you're saying to resonate in a different way, which means your message has to shift because what you're putting out there ain't going nowhere. That's the people right. You have, but you don't have enough people to get you across the finish line of victory.
And just like that, it's time for our weekly roundup of all the things we just ain't gonna do. Number one, try and message test our way to freedom. Woo! This week, people are trying it with a whole wave of say defund the police in a way that doesn't make me uncomfortable. Can I tell you how my phone has been ringing? Can I? I mean, it's funny. When the GOP waged a whole ass campaign to defund Planned Parenthood, people were super clear about what defund meant. We have to be clear that as a movement grows across the country and around the world, the forces that do not want us to succeed will not be swayed by a nicer message. And whether it's nice or not really isn't the point. I mean, I remember back in the day, people would tell us to change Black Lives Matter to Black Lives Matter 2 or All Lives Matter or whatever kind of thing. And honestly, I'm really glad we didn't. Stand on a whole ass value, not a half one. Call it whatever you want. You can call it rainbows and unicorns if you feel like you need to, but whatever you call it, make sure you include the fact that policing budgets are way over bloated and that that money can be used better and elsewhere. And while we're on the topic, we need to divorce ourselves from this notion that anything else but an investment in our communities is actually going to change the balance of power between us. Take away the power police have to be wreaking havoc on our dime. Give that power back to the people to meet the needs that we have right now. Our safety rests on a reinvestment of our resources into the things that people need to live well. And everybody deserves that. Here's the other thing we ain't gonna do this week. Lunchtime Speaker Series on Diversity and Inclusion. Listen, I love y'all the most, but let me just tell you, that's not my work and it's not my ministry. We are 7 years into this now, and frankly, there is a whole industry that would love to take your money to talk with you about how to be more diverse and more inclusive. That ain't me. And I'm pretty sure you don't need me to do that. Plus, it's really just not that confusing. I mean, all you have to do is look around you. I want to give a quick shout out to the Black Bay Area for the information that I'm about to talk to you about. And when you hear this, you're going to understand why it's just what I ain't going to do. Okay, so Airbnb, they have 17 senior leaders. One of those senior leaders is Black, and their title is the head of global diversity and belonging. Bank of America has 16 C-level executives. One of those executives is Black, and her title is chief diversity officer. LinkedIn has zero Black people in their C-suite and in the highest levels of leadership. Twitter has no Black people on their senior leadership team. None. Zero. Zip. Zilch. I mean, damn. Twitter, though? Salesforce has one Black person in an executive capacity, and I think we're having a pattern here. Their title is chief equality and recruiting officer. I mean, ask me again if I'm going to come to your lunchtime speaker series. And shout out to the one Black person holding it down. For real, for real, for real. Shout out to you. This is just... No. It ain't right. And in case you didn't know, Black people can do more than just make you feel better about racism. That's the first thing. But also, number two... the fact that the only way we can get into the leadership of these companies, especially given their impact on our communities, and especially given how we impact their platforms, the fact that the only way that you can get into the leadership of these companies is to help talk about diversity and inclusion is complete and utter bullshit. So no. I don't have 20 minutes to talk with y'all, but what I do have is some brilliant friends who would be great running your company. KK, thanks. Bye. Last thing we ain't gonna do this week, but really it should be the first and it should be something we ain't gonna do any week, is kill trans people. What is going on, y'all? Stop killing trans people. That's it. That's the statement. We have to love trans people in public, not just in private. Rise in power to Dominique Fells and Rhea Milton, two Black trans women who were found murdered this week. I mean, for real, folks, this shit, it's got to end. All right, here's what we want more of this week, though. So first, foremost, always 100% and truly, let me tell you, Samantha Bee Full Frontal gave me my whole entire ass life this week. That episode took on Defund the Police, and it was some of the best television that I have seen ever. Short, sweet, and to the point, Samantha Bee took her white lady gangsta and used it for good, hunty. I don't know who wrote that thing, but let me tell you, let me just keep it a buck. If you are at all confused about what's happening right now, just watch this short episode. You get the 101 and the 202 in a little over 8 minutes. We posted it on our socials. You're welcome. Other thing Lady loves this week is Instagram takeovers. Look, I know it's not the revolution, but shout out to all the high profiles handing over their platforms to organizers and folks who are fighting for change. Special shout out to the folks who know that it's better to let folks speak for themselves than to release some clunky statement or to just like try to start your own thing as if you are the first person to realize that some shit got to be done right now. I don't want to go on a whole rant about this, but I love the 800 new voting rights initiatives. But, you know, there was already some of those that you could have just put your full weight behind. But anyway, I digress. talking about what I love, not what I'm hating on. I am seeing awesome takeovers by my sister Patrice on Ellen's Instagram, Lady Gaga, and Selena Gomez. In fact, you can check out our crew on Lady Gaga's Instagram this week. Thank you, Gaga. We're excited to join the community. And to all the high profiles out there, use your platform for politics, not just products. It's part of the strategy of the Black Futures Lab. We're really, really excited about this. So we'd love to hear it. Ooh, Lord. We really need to like get into it more, but yeah, we have so much more time together, sis. And what a blessing. What a blessing. What a God-given blessing. So how can the good people listening today be in touch with you and follow all of your amazing work?
Well, thank you for believing it's amazing.
Oh, it's 100% amazing.
Hey, gal. I'm on social media and Instagram, it's Angela Rye. I think on Facebook, it's The Angela Rye, my page, my little community page. I refuse to call it a fan page. Twitter is Angela_Rye, like the bread. There's a YouTube page with all my podcast stuff.
I want to thank you so much for joining us, Angela. Like, honestly, this is the episode that the people need to hear this week. So thank you for spending your time with us.
Thank you for doing it.
That's it for Lady Don't Take No. I'll be back here every single Friday morning to accompany you where you used to have a commute. We appreciate you joining us, and we want to keep the conversation going. Tell us what's on your mind, what you like, and what you just ain't gonna take no more of. On Twitter, we're at Lady Take. On Insta, we're at Lady Don't Take No Pod. We're also on Facebook at Lady Don't Take No Podcast by Alicia Garza. We post ways to do something about the things you hear on this show on our social media. So if we got you amped up today, check out the socials to find out how you can take action. Please subscribe and write us a review and let the good people know what you've heard here today. Our producer is Phil Circus. Our incredible theme is by Latyrix. This pod is supported by the Black Futures Lab. And I'm your host, Alicia Garza. Remember, defund the police and invest in our communities. You cannot message test your way to freedom, but if you think you can, holler at me about making America great again. No lunchtime speaker series when you can just do the fucking work. Stop killing trans people and Black Lives Matter. Period. That's right. I said it. Because Lady Don't Take No.
Lady don't take no shit. Insist on respect the sister. Walk around like a womanish. She won't speak less of something worse. Singing don't play. The girl take herself so serious. Like, people stare curious. Like, she got a natural way. Her hips sway furious. Like, yeah, luxurious.
Like, love y'all.